give me your thoughts on the Senate Farm Bill, especially with what you saw transpire over in the House and what was done differently, whether it was politically speaking, just the way that it was handled, or certainly within the legislation itself, the differences.
Well, you know, Senator Roberts said at the beginning that he was going to have a bipartisan bill, and that meant that, you know, there weren't going to be any ideologically driven poison pills in there like they did in the House. And, you know, my initial discussions with the chairman over here was that he wanted a bipartisan bill, and that, you know, that he said to me, I'm not going to jam you on this, and it's going to be something that you can support. Well, at the end of the day, it wasn't anything close to something I could support or my caucus could support. And there was no explanation of why he did this. And when I said, well, this isn't going to fly, I said, you're not going to get a single Democratic vote for this, especially because of what happened in 2013. And he just says, well, it's non-negotiable. It's one thing I can't negotiate on. So I don't know what's driving that. I assume it's the Speaker, but I'm not sure. You know, but the Speaker did take H.R. 2, which was his welfare reform bill, and put the Farm Bill into that title. And then he went out and made three or four, you know, statements in favor of what they were doing and welfare reform and so forth. So I assume that's what it was, but whatever. You know, I warned them, and there was not a single Democratic vote for this. There were 15 Republicans that voted against it because of the same concerns that the Democrats had. And there were probably 10 or 15 more Republicans that would have liked to have voted against it, but were whipped into line or had their arms twisted by the leadership for whatever reason. So we ended up in this position. So now, you know, they're going to claim they're going to bring it up again. You know, I don't know if they're going to have the votes or not. We'll see. But when he came out with this language and said he couldn't negotiate it, I called Pat Roberts. And I told them what they were doing, and Pat says, "Well, we're not going anywhere near that. You know, we're not going to do that over here. That's just not on the table." So I went back to the chairman and told him that, and he just blew up and yelled at me basically, and said, "Well, then we'll just have the Senate write the bill." So that was the end of that. So I don't know how this is going to play out. If they can pass the bill in the House, it'll go to conference. I will be more aligned with the Senate bill than I will with the House bill. And so my guess is that if there is a bill that comes out of conference, it'll look a lot like the Senate bill. You know, so, you know, we'll just have to see. But, you know, the Senate bill is pretty good. There's some things in there that I would prefer not be in there, or things that I would change a little bit. But, you know, if the Senate bill is something I could support. And that's not what I can say for the House bill.
Congressman, how out of the ordinary is this scenario where, even though you're the ranking member of the House Ag Committee, you are saying that you more align yourself with what the Senate Farm Bill is shaping up to be? I mean, has something like this happened in your experience before?
Nope. This is the first time I've ever seen this. I think this is the first time that any of the farm groups or farm lobbyists have seen anything like this. You know, it's unprecedented, and it's unnecessary, because at the end of the day, ideological food stamp stuff that they put in this bill, which is driven by a bunch of right-wing guys down in Florida, along with the former governor of Maine, is not going to be in the bill. So why they're going through this, you know, why they're jeopardizing the Farm Bill over this is beyond me, but they are. So what I don't understand is so we, you know, we are able, you know, the Senate and myself are able to agree to something. I don't know if Chairman Conaway will be able to do that. And I don't know if he'll be able to bring a bill that could pass the Senate back to the House, given the position he's taken up to this point. So I don't get the strategy. I don't understand what they're up to. And what's really amazing about this is in the last 7 weeks, I have not talked to the chairman, and my staff hasn't basically talked to their staff at all. The only conversation I had with the chairman was he came over on the floor after the sugar vote and thanked me for what I had done. And it was about three words. And that's the only discussion I've had with him in 7 weeks. So I don't know how you get a bill done when you behave like that.
I have to think that you're hearing from your constituents back in Minnesota, whether it's folks in rural Minnesota or any part of rural America that are hoping for certainty with this next farm bill. Listening to you talk about the current situation in Washington, how, if you even try to assure them that there is going to be, you know, these important safety nets, these tools that they depend on. I mean, it's very concerning, I would think.
Yeah, well, it is, except that, you know, they've kind of gotten so disillusioned with Washington that they don't pay a lot of attention sometimes. But at the end of the day, I think they feel like we'll work this out. And what I've told them is, you know, the biggest thing for farmers is crop insurance. And crop insurance is permanently authorized. Crop insurance does not need to be redone or reauthorized by September 30th. It's permanently there. It doesn't even really need to be part of the farm bill. And until 2008, it was never part of the farm bill. It was done separately. So the most important thing is going to be there no matter what. You know, the food stamps, ironically, is the other part of the farm bill that is permanently authorized. So if nothing is done with that, it continues on the way it is. So the other issues are, you know, the other parts of the bill. And at the end of the day, if they don't have this thing done by September 30th, there will be an extension. And the bill that's being proposed in the House and in the Senate, except for food stamps and in the Senate, is basically a continuation of current law. So at the end of the day, if we get an extension of the current law, it's not the end of the world. The biggest problem is there's two problems. One, that people want to switch from ARC to PLC, and they won't be able to do it without a change because that is not authorized. We did get a score on that, and that can be extended. We can have a one-year switch that's allowable with no cost, so that is a possibility in an extension that people could switch, but it would only be for 1 year, and that is a problem for some people. The other thing is the dairy thing. When the Senate fixed this thing in the CR, they did not listen to me, and now they're trying to correct that, and we did in the House as well, and they go to $9 margin coverage. That is problematic. The $8 that they have in the current law does not work. But again, that can be done without any cost, so I think that's something that possibly could be done in an extension because it doesn't cost anything. CRP, you know, we'd like to see that raised, but that won't get done unless there's a bill. So, you know, if we don't get a bill, we're going to get an extension because if you don't extend the current law, what happens is we go back to 49 law. And that is something that I insisted remain in place for this very reason, to force us to do an extension if we get into a situation like we're in. And given how we've been operating, I insisted on that in the last farm bill. So the permanent law goes to 100% of parity. And so, for example, corn would go to $9 a bushel, wheat $16, milk $33 a hundredweight. Obviously, some farmers would like that, but, you know, it's not realistic in the long term. So I think this is getting worked out. You know, it's the unfortunate thing is that we really don't need to be in this position.
You know, one thing going back to the Senate and the Farm Bill, and you talked about crop insurance, help me to understand what Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is proposing, or at least has talked about proposing. I think it's capping crop insurance, which I thought was surprising coming from somebody from a major ag state like Iowa. Is that something that the Senate is looking at in their Farm Bill?
Well, it's not in there right now. Senator Grassley, this has been a thing with him. His primary thing, though, is not capping crop insurance. His primary focus is this actively engaged language, which says that unless you're actively engaged in actually working on the farm, that you would not qualify to get one of these payment limits, because we have a limitation on the overall amount that can go to one organization or one farm. And what they do, especially in the South, is they split these up into a number of different categories, and they get bring in relatives and so forth. And so this has been something he's tried to do. He got it in the Senate bill last time, and it did not end up in the final bill. So that's his primary thing. And the crop insurance, you know, he mentioned that, but I don't think that's the top thing in his agenda. This is actually Dick Durbin is the one that's more vocal on this, pushing a cap on the amount of subsidy. I think he's been pushing like $40,000 per farm, which is problematic. It's about $1,200 or 1,200 acres in southwest Minnesota. So, but the ironic thing is that in the House bill, they not only don't do anything about actively engaged, they actually expand this, which is going to drive Grassley crazy, because what it does is it expands farm payments to cousins, nephews, in-laws, people that don't farm, that are not actually part of the operation, but they split it up so they can get payments. And the House bill would allow that. That's another problem I have with the bill. There's other problems that I have with this bill besides food stamps. But it's ironic that they're going to expand this and give this to people, give significant thousands and thousands of dollars of payments to people that do not work on the farm. You know, most of these people don't work on the farm. And then they're going to go out and punish somebody that falls on hard times that's getting $125 a month out of food stamps, and they're going to make them go sit in a room for 80 hours a month in order to get $125. Now, you see the irony? I mean, so we're going to give people $100,000 that don't work on the farm? And I can't tell you how many people, even farmers, are coming to me and say, you know, maybe we need to have work requirements for farmers. You know, and that's basically what Grassley is doing. You know, so, you know, we'll see what he ends up doing. But this has been his thing. But I'd say the actively engaged is, and the payment limits is more his thing than the crop insurance.
Last thing I have for you, given the fact that you haven't talked to Chairman Conaway essentially in 7 weeks, when you think about the prospects of the House moving forward with their farm bill, I know we've talked before, and you predicted at various times an extension was probably the most likely outcome. It sure sounds like that's what you're thinking right now. So my question is, if the Senate is able to pass their farm bill today, is it sort of a moot point given the current environment that everyone's working in, because we're probably on the road to an extension anyway?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think if the Senate passes the bill on a bipartisan basis, I think that puts pressure on the Republicans in the House. You know, it kind of smokes out what their strategy and their ideology that, you know, they're going to be isolated. And there's going to be questions in some of these states where the Republican senators support this, and why aren't the Republican House members being reasonable? You know, so I think this is going to put pressure on the Republicans. Whether it'll make any difference or not, I don't know. But I'm not to the point where I'm going to give up and say we're just going to go to an extension. I still would like to work this out. I want people to work. I think most of the people in the food stamp program that don't have small kids work. We already have work requirements. That's not the issue. The issue is they want to, you know, the work requirements that we've had for 22 years have obviously not been effective, because the Republicans are now still trying to make people work. So they're going to double down on a system that's failed, you know, and they're going to add people that are 50 to 60 into this system that already doesn't work, and spend a whole bunch of money doing it. It's crazy, you know. So, you know, I would support significant changes in food stamps, and we need to make some changes. And in the 23 hearings that we had on food stamps, we had a number of things pointed out that we should do that I can support and our caucus can support. So not one of those things is in this bill in the House. And so the things that are in the bill in the House never came up in any of these 23 hearings. So you explain to me what the heck these guys are up to. I would be willing to work with them and make changes in food stamps, and I would like to have an effective program to help people get to work. I'm all for that, but this does not do it.